Contrary to popular belief, most guys with man breasts cannot just bench press their way to perfect pecs. They have a medical condition called gynecomastia, and Dr. Frank Lista of the Plastic Surgery Clinic can help. A world-renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Lista has perfected the procedure for correcting gynecomastia. Find out more at theplasticsurgeryclinic.ca. Get off the bench and into the game. Theplasticsurgeryclinic.ca.
The Jeff Blair Show just got 100% more brunt. This is the Jeff Blair Show with Jeff Blair and Stephen Brunt on Toronto Sports Radio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Shut up, shut up, shut up. Sit up, sit up, sit up. It's a kangaroo.
I'll tell you what, I really do wish. I've come to the conclusion I almost wish the Jays hadn't won the division and that they were playing in the wild card game tonight. Seriously. I mean, that way we'd just be worried about stuff instead of complaining about it. My God, Twitter. Twitter yesterday. It's like one big crying towel. Start times. I guess people are surprised that Major League Baseball is going to pick a game in Toronto to start it. 3 o'clock, 12:30, or 4 o'clock and one, whatever it is. I mean, that's every year in baseball, there's some fan base that ends up getting those start times. It just happens. And every year, it usually has something to do with the TV market or the NFL schedule. And basically, Major League Baseball is going to try to take all those things into account. But anyhow, so we're complaining about start times. And look, I get it. Like I said yesterday on Twitter, believe me, I understand. You waited 22 years, you're all excited, and then you find out that the game is starting at 4 o'clock on a Thursday. Well, okay, that might be a little doable if you work downtown. But God almighty, 12:30 on a Friday. How the hell do you get out of that? Now, I would suggest, seeing as how it's Friday before a long weekend, I mean, if I'm running a business, I would suggest rolling some TVs or something in, or some big screens in for my employees. If you're a school teacher, maybe allowing your students to watch the game, whatever. My biggest concern about all this is the impact that this layoff may have on the Toronto Blue Jays going into Thursday's game. And I'm not necessarily talking about David Price and the 11 days between starts. I mean, we talked about that yesterday. If David Price is cool with it, I'm cool with it. You should be cool with it. But there is a track record of teams having difficulty coming off of a prolonged period of rest going into the postseason. Nobody knows this better than Joe Siddle. Joe Siddle is around the Detroit Tigers, and for a variety of reasons, the Detroit Tigers always, every year, every postseason, seem to get hit with like 5-day layoffs, 6-day layoffs, 7-day layoffs. So we're going to talk to Joe Siddle about that, and then we're going to throw open the phone lines. Brunt's going to join me. I'm going to ask you about these start times and you know the worrying in this city, the start times, Osuna, Price. It's like, it's almost like we forgot how to have fun with this.
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
All right, Stephen Brunt's going to join me in a few minutes. Eddie Olchuk of the NHL and NBC will be along at 10 o'clock. It is hockey season. Chris Marinac, a senior VP, League Economics and Strategy for Major League Baseball. He's going to join us at 10 o'clock. This guy's got a cool job. He's been involved in pace of play rules. He's been involved in replay. And he's also been involved in a move on the part of Major League Baseball to, start using iPads in dugouts and essentially Major League Baseball is trying to come up with a way to allow its teams to use some of the technology available, but ensuring a level of security. So it's a fascinating topic, especially given what we saw earlier this year with the St. Louis Cardinals and a couple of St. Louis Cardinals employees being charged for trying to hack into the Houston Astros database. So we're going to talk to Chris Marinek about that. Are we on the point, or are we getting to the point of the wireless dugout? I mean, right now, wireless devices are not allowed, obviously, in dugouts. They're for a variety of reasons. A lot of things have to do with concerns about gambling and things of that nature. But are we moving towards a wireless dugout? Because it does seem kind of funny, doesn't it? That if you go into a clubhouse, every player's got a laptop. Everybody's breaking down video on their own laptop. Everybody's got big video rooms with big screens where the players are in there. Then they go out in the field, and you got this big waft, this big swath of papers, and you see Joe Girardi flicking through his binder. And you're going, paper? Who the hell uses paper anymore? So anyhow, we'll talk to Chris Marinek about that. About are we moving towards the wireless dugout in Major League Baseball? And we'll also deal with pace of play issues and things like that. But before we deal with that, Joe Siddall is our Blue Jays radio analyst on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And I've got to mention, by the way, that we will have our MLB Central postseason preview show tonight. It'll be hosted by Jamie Campbell and Greg Zahn, Arash Madani from Yankee Stadium, John Morosi, Buck Martinez, Shai Davidi, Barry Davis will be along. We'll also have part one of Stephen Brunt's two-part sit-down with Alex Anthopoulos. You're not going to want to miss that. Heard part of it yesterday, and it's pretty revealing. So again, that'll be Brunt's interview with Alex Anthopoulos, part one of a two-part sit-down. Part of our MLB Central postseason preview show. Mr. Siddall, how are you?
Good morning. Very good, thanks.
So are you worried? I mean, you had firsthand experience when you were working for the Tigers with issues surrounding layoffs and keeping teams sharp. And I can remember in particular one of those series sitting with Jim Leland in the dugout, and he was quite open about how concerned he was that his team had such a lengthy layoff. It's not necessarily a great thing when you're playing a sport where you play every day, is it?
No, it really isn't. And I'll be honest with you, I think it really cost the Tigers a couple of times. I can't remember the exact years. I know back in 06 when they got to their first World Series in a long time, that was Leland's first year there. They ended up losing, I think it was 4-1 to the Cardinals, 4-1. But they had about a week layoff. I want to say it was 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then it happened again in 2012 with the Giants, and they got swept by the Giants. And I just remember a lot of it was almost like, you don't want to make excuses, but watching the games, the players just looked lethargic. They looked out of sorts. It's like they had gone home for the winter and just come back. And that's not to blame anyone. I think it's got a lot to do with what you just said. This game it's a game of continuity. They need to play every day. It's repetitions. And when you have that time off, you can only take so much batting practice and so many ground balls and pitch so many sides in the bullpen for the pitchers. You just cannot simulate those games. And what the Tigers actually did, and I can't remember the exact year it was, but they brought kids up from instructional league. So mm-hmm. They basically brought kids up to pitch against the hitters, and they brought some hitters in to face the pitchers. So they were trying to simulate. They played simulated games. Now, you call them simulated games. Of course, there's nobody in the stands, and there's not a whole lot of energy and enthusiasm. You're basically just getting your work in. So I think it was a good idea. If you were to ask the players in the end, did it really work? No, because you just can't. You cannot simulate real game action, especially postseason game action like the wild card games. But I'll tell you what, Jeff, I heard you say that you'd take the wild card games. I'd still like to go right to the division series.
Yeah, well, I was kind of saying that tongue-in-cheek, because then people wouldn't be complaining about things like start times. And
I think it'd be much more enjoyable watching these wild card games.
Yeah, you're right, by the way. In 2000 and 2006, the final game of the ALCS, the Tigers swept that in four. The final game was October 14th, the first game of the World Series against the St. Louis Cardinals was 7 days later on October 21st. And in that game, the Tigers actually got off the 1-0 lead, but then the Cardinals just buried them. They scored four runs in the second and third inning, and that was pretty much That was pretty much the end of things for the Detroit Tigers. That against Justin Verlander. And then I believe the next game was when Kenny Rogers had the pine tar on. I could be wrong. But,
oh, I remember that one.
So what would your biggest concern be going into the ALDS, your biggest concern about the Blue Jays right now with this time off?
I think, I don't think it's going to be an issue for the hitters. These guys played up until Sunday, though, had a day off yesterday, which I think will be another welcome day off. I talked about Chieftain, Donaldson, and Edwin, a couple of these guys that had those days off. I know there's a lot of controversy about how the roster was set out there in Baltimore and down the stretch. They felt so good and really rejuvenated with that time off. So I think it's a very good thing. Monday, day off yesterday, they'll get two workouts in, and they'll be good to go Thursday. I don't think that'll be an issue. I think the bottom line, it's going to be the back end of this bullpen that's going to be crucial in this series, and I think it's going to be for both teams. I think you're going to see the rotations for the Blue Jays. I like the however it is set up. I think those guys are all capable of going deep in a ball games, but I think there's going to be some very big-time matchups late in the ballgame, and we know that a couple of the Blue Jays relievers have struggled a bit lately, most notably Osuna. But you know what? I think these days off will be good. And again, I think he is, we've talked about it all year, how he's, you know, kind of mature beyond his years. I think that'll come in handy here. The only concern for me is his workload this year, and it's been a big one. He's had a lot. So is he hitting that wall? And when pitchers start to fatigue, that's when you start seeing him miss location a little bit. We have seen Osuna go to the slider a little bit more lately, and it's because hitters were teeing off on his fastball, but he feels he just wasn't locating as well. And now he's been working in the slider, but now it seems like the slider's just been okay and the fastball's been okay. So it's kind of like this little transition period. Mm-hmm. When he's good, he's very good. And hopefully these days off will get him rejuvenated to finish strong.
How do you think John Gibbons sets up his rotation? And this is kind of the million-dollar, the guessing game right now in Toronto. I think we all realize that we all think David Price goes game one. And I think when we're doing this, the rule of thumb is this. The Jays didn't go out to acquire David Price to all of a sudden chintz out on postseason starts. I mean, he's going to pitch in the postseason until his arm falls off. And quite frankly, I mean, he's a free agent. So go ahead, you know, use him every game if you want. I'm kidding there. But what do you think they do after David Price? How do you think they set up the rotation?
For me, it's Price and then Stroman. There's no question in my mind. I know there's been a lot of talk about this too. And then for me, it's Estrada and Dickey in Texas. That's the way I see it. And I know people talk about R.A. Dickey's home and road splits and how he's much better at home, but I just don't buy into that stuff a whole lot. And I've talked to R.A. about that, and he said no. And you look at some of his games too. I mean, he had that tough stretch there on the road trip in Philly and L.A. He gave up 10 runs, I think, in two starts. He gave up 7-1 game in Houston this year against a pretty good offense. So I think he just feels that some of his bad games happen to come against some pretty good teams, and he just wasn't pitching well at the time. He attributes it more to that. It's not necessarily being on the road. So I really don't buy into those splits so much. I think you want Stroman number two. For me, he's your number two right now. He's your second best starting pitcher with his stuff. I know Marco's had a tremendous season. R.A.'s had a good season too, but with what I'm seeing from Stroman right now, I think you ride that wave. I was waiting for him to slow down just a bit in the third or fourth start, but it didn't happen. He seems to be getting better. So I think I go 1-2 with them right at home, and then hand the ball to Marco, number three in Texas, and then R.A. follows them.
Yeah, it's and that's, I mean, I've got to say, that's all indications, you know, all nods of the head, winks of the eye from the Blue Jays is that's the way they're leaning. They want to go Price run one, Stroman two. They want to run out their two, you know, their two best power pitchers right at the start. Like you, I mean, the only reason I could see going with R.A. Dickey at home is because maybe you control the environment a little more. But again, Major League Baseball, I believe, is going to have the call on whether or not the roof's open. So it's not like you can start R.A. Dickey and just sort of unilaterally decide that you're going to have the roof closed. And away we go.
I think you have to be careful, too. Sometimes people try to overthink things in this
game.
You know, you're trying to create and really work to create the best scenario for you instead of looking at what's staring you right in the eye. And I don't think anyone would really argue that your two best right now are Price and then Stroman. And again, I say that with no disrespect to Marco Estrada and the year he had. But I feel pretty good about Marco going the first game in Texas. So it works out fine for me.
Joe, when David Price takes the mound on Thursday, what will you be looking for that will tell you that this 11-day layoff hasn't had a negative impact on him? What's a giveaway? What would be a red flag for you?
for me, it's just the sharpness of his pitches and his command. He's been so good. I mean, we've seen him, especially against right-handers, he's been pounding them, those forcing fastballs away and the cutters away that he'll backdoor. He'll start off the plate away and come back. And then, of course, we know he'll sneak those inside as well. The changeup's been outstanding. I think simply the location of those pitches, when you see him face some of these righties, how is he handling that outer third of the plate? Because he usually handles it pretty well against those right-handed pitchers. So the fastball and the cutter away to those righties, is he hitting his spots? And against the lefties, we know that he's not afraid to come inside. He's not even afraid to drop the changeups on. But I think bottom line is crispness. It's hard, really, in live game action without slowing down video to look at pitching mechanics, for me anyway, up in the booth. So what I look for is the result, which is the pitch coming in. And I think we've seen David enough now that I'll be able to tell if he's missing with his spots or if that command or the crispness perhaps on that cutter isn't as good. Those are things to me that you lose, because the time off is where you lose that feel, that rhythm, that timing. And pitching is all about that, getting your delivery to that release point on time. And those are the things that you can kind of, you know, you got to work the cobwebs out if you haven't worked in 11 days. But I really, again, I think with the David Price, he's got the perfect demeanor for a pitcher that is going to have this long layoff. He's not a real high energy guy out there. He really does slow the game down. Look at how many times on the mound he'll take a step back off the pitching mound and just take a deep breath, slow everything down. I think that's his demeanor out there. So it's kind of strange for a power pitcher, but I don't think this delay will affect him if there's anyone.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot. We've got a wild card game tonight on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. First pitch at 8 o'clock, right after our MLB playoff preview. Houston, Dallas Keuchel, the Yankees, Masahiro Tanaka. It's in Yankee Stadium. Who do you got?
I'm going to go with Jake Arrieta and the Cubs. I cannot go against him in that game. And I'm going with the Astros. I think they're riding a wave right here. And I think if Tanaka misses a couple of pitches here and there, the Astros can hit him into the seats. And I think that could be the difference. Keuchel's on short rest, but you know what? Sometimes that adrenaline kicks in and pitchers like that forget about short rest. So I'm going to see the Cubs winning in the National League and Houston in the American League.
Yeah, I think Houston's going to win as well.
But I have no idea.
Pardon me?
But I have no idea.
Well, I mean, hey, you know what? You got a 50-50 chance here. You got a chance of being right, 50%. That's better than the odds a lot of time.
Postseason baseball.
Absolutely. Joe, thanks for doing this.
All right, take care, Jeff.
It's Joe Siddle of our Blue Jays radio crew. And again, tonight we'll have our MLB Central postseason preview show on Sportsnet East, West, Ontario, and Pacific. And that'll be at 7 o'clock. It'll be followed at 8 o'clock by the American League wildcard game. Dallas Keuchel of the Astros on the mound against Masahiro Tanaka of the Yankees. And tomorrow, the National League wildcard game goes on Sportsnet 1. Jake Arrieta against Gerrit Cole, the Pittsburgh Pirates. I'm going to split with Joe Siddle on that. I'm going to call the Pirates to win just because I'm terrified. I'm absolutely terrified of the possibility of the Cubs having any success in the playoffs. They would be just, you couldn't live with them. I think unless you're a Chicago Cubs fan, your rooting interest has to be with Pittsburgh. Because if you thought there was a lot of nonsense with the Boston Red Sox breaking the curse of the Bambino, you don't even want to begin to think what will happen should the Cubs have success. Because Wrigley Field's just full of a lot of horrible yuppies. So everybody cheer for Pittsburgh. Stephen Brunt, join me. Stephen Brunt slides in here, servicing our sister station in Calgary. How are the folks in Calgary? Are they excited?
They're very excited. I'm trying to find out. Of course, this is always a bit of a challenge here.
Well, yeah, it is. The morning show guys tend to
put things back together after the morning show. So I'm plugged into one thing here and plugged into another thing there.
Yeah, they tend to confuse the issue. They've got headphones all over the place and microphones. It's just weird stuff.
I just sent it in the control room. I said, who's Blair talking to? I said, he's talking to himself. I said, well.
No, pretty much. Yeah, just another day.
I'm used to that.
Just another day in paradise.
Yeah.
You've seen me talk to myself for 20 years. Why should today be any freaking different?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, at least I get to talk to someone I love.
Yes.
So, Steve, why is everybody in such a pissy mood in this city?
It's
I mean, seriously, it's like people on Twitter, they're worried about the start times. And look, I get it. Hey, you know, somebody said, well, Blair, you know, you're lucky you get to watch baseball for a living. Yeah, some of us have to work. I understand that. I understand why people would be upset. But I've been telling you guys for like 3 or 4 days that this is what was going to happen. You know, it's not my fault if you don't listen to me.
Well, they do play day games in the postseason. Not in a World Series anymore, but they do when they have this stack up of games because of the way things are. And the way the world works is that primetime television is going to feature games first from big glamorous American markets, followed by less glamorous American markets, followed by way, 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 way down there, games played in other countries from teams from other countries.
That's pretty much it. And only after they've checked the NFL schedule to see how it all works out.
That's right. I thought everybody was nostalgic about daytime baseball. I thought they always talked about, you know, bringing transistor radios to grade school so they could listen to the World Series and hear whoever it was at that point. Like all that, you know, horrible baby boomer nostalgia stuff. Isn't that what we're all supposed to pine for, is baseball during the day?
I think so. And if, by the way, if any of you out there, the numbers are 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. If any of you out there are employers, and you're going to give your fans some time or your employees some time off, or if you've got something set up where your employees are going to be able to watch the games or whatever, give us a call. I mean, we'll give you a shout out. If you're going to do that, if you're going to do your employees a solid, we'll give you a shout out. We'll do that for the next couple of days as well. And if you've got some goofy ideas or goofy ways or goofy places you're going to be watching the game, let us know that as well. We had an interesting conversation with Joe Siddall about layoffs. Joe Siddall worked for the Detroit Tigers, and the Tigers were just, by the luck of the draw, or the bad luck of the draw, got saddled with some horrible layoffs. You know, we were talking about that one in 2006. Famously, they swept the Oakland Athletics and then sat around for 7 days before the World Series
and
started.
And then lost four in a row.
And then lost four in a row to the St. Louis Cardinals. It's
Did they lose four to one?
Because they won the second game.
Yeah,
they won the Pine Tar game.
The one that got swept was San Francisco.
Yeah, and they had a layoff going into that game as well. As a matter of fact, Joe was saying they brought up a bunch of kids from Florida from the instructional league to play simulated games. And I remember being at a couple of those games covering them. And as Joe said, they're simulated games. There's no crowd in the stands. You know, it's. You've got guys who are anxiously awaiting the World Series, the start of the World Series, playing in the same field as guys who are just up from instructional league. You don't get a great deal done. It's glorified pitching. Batting practice is what it is.
Well, I get all of that. But the alternative would have been that David Price would be pitching tomorrow.
Yes.
And coming off two starts in which he didn't look fresh, let's put it that way, and having pitched a ton of innings, and then would be unavailable to the team until game two of the, you know, would that be preferable? You know, if they won the wild card. So, like, I understand. Yeah, it's not perfect, and a layoff isn't perfect, and teams do come out of them stale sometimes. And two wild card teams played in the World Series last year. So, you know, welcome to the crapshoot part of the year. This is the way it works, especially in the best of five. You know, where there are. Funny stuff can happen, and the best teams don't always win.
This is meaningful September baseball.
Yeah, this is what we're in for, and that's
October baseball.
Yeah, and sometimes those games are played during the day. So stop moaning. Yes. I think one of the strange things about this August, September, October, so far has been that after those 22 years walking through the desert, there has been, and not saying about everybody, but there's kind of a tendency not to be able to just sit back, take a deep breath, smell the roses, and enjoy it. My God, it's happened. You're here. And they might not win the World Series. It might not. They might get knocked out by Texas. But you're here. It's been a great year. It's been awesome. You know, who couldn't? It just, you've got to enjoy this stuff when it happens, because who knows, right? It's like projecting teams. Well, you know, they got all these young guys. They're going to be this year, maybe this, but next year they're going to even be better.
Yeah, ask the Washington Capitals how that works out.
Yeah, well, there's all kinds of weird stuff.
Nationals, I'm sorry.
All kinds of things can happen in the moment. Enjoy it. It doesn't matter what time the games start. It doesn't matter if Roberto Osuna blew his last save. You know, it doesn't matter that David Price has thrown a lot of innings this year, or that Gallardo has killed the Jays in two starts, et cetera, et cetera. You're in the playoffs. Yeah, and the baseball discussion, I get it. That's a big part of baseball, is the conversation around the game is a big part of the game. But just kind of finding the, you know, looking up in this bright blue sky and saying, I see a little tiny dark cloud way, way over there. There's been a lot of that, hasn't there?
Yeah, it really has been. So far, though, nobody's called up to worry about whether or not David Price is going to re-sign.
Yeah, well, that's
I've been waiting for that. I've been waiting for that. George in Cookstown. We're going to go to the phone lines. George in Cookstown. You're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What's up, George?
Hey, Jeff, how are you? You asked about what we're doing for our people. Well,
yeah.
I run Irwin Toy, and we are giving our people the afternoon off on Thursday and Friday. But the cool thing is we have two people in China at a trade show, and we've set them up with MLB at bat so they can watch the game.
Very nice. Very nice.
Okay. Well, I think they're front runners for employer of the year
yes.
right now.
The last time you and I talked, actually, Canada was playing the Olympics, and we also gave them time off at that time as well.
That's right. I remember that. Well, good for you, George. Appreciate you calling, and I'm sure on behalf of your employees, I appreciate you doing this too.
Not at all, Jeff. Have a great day, and go Jays, go.
Take care. That's George from Cookstown, Irwin Toy.
Yeah.
I do remember him calling up during the game, during the gold medal game.
It's fantastic. Lucky folks at Irwin Toy.
Yeah. I mean, and you figure George running a toy company, he's got to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't run a toy company.
You wouldn't want to be miserable.
Could you imagine me running a toy company?
No.
Oh, my God. You know how I'd be? What was that Saturday Night Live character? Was it Mainway Toys? The one where they, Saturday Night Live, Dan Aykroyd, where he was making all the toys that were exploding in the kids or the dolls with the heads that were popping off and they had spikes in them and stuff like that. Anyhow. You just figure run a toy company, you're going to be good.
You
got
to be jolly.
Well, you have to. Eddie and Ford Erie, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, good.
A couple of things. I don't care what time the games start. I'm going to watch them all. I don't care if they even start at midnight. I've been watching games on the West Coast during the regular season for a long time, so I'm used to it. And I'm going to be listening to the game at work on Friday. I'm not working Thursday, so I'll be able to watch the first game. And as far as my prediction for the wild card games go, I got Houston winning the AL, and I'm going to go with Pittsburgh. Not just because, you know, I like Pittsburgh and it's nice, but you know what? They're a very good team and they've been in the playoffs more than the Cubs since 2013. So I think experience will come into play for the Pirates.
Yeah, and Eddie, honest to God, if the Chicago Cubs, it would be sports version of the nuclear holocaust if the Chicago Cubs were to go to the World Series. I mean, it just would. The planet would spin, be off its axis. The gravity, the laws of gravity would be repealed. I mean, honest to God, you people think it was bad when the Red Sox, you think they were insufferable when they won. Do you know how bad Cubs fans would be?
Yeah.
Because there's a horrible,
they're not as bad as Red Sox fans because you kind of understood that kind of creepiness in that community even before they won, right? You knew that they never were that cuddly, I got to tell you. Even when they were losing. They were never the adorable underdogs.
They were generally, it's a horrible city.
It's a great city with horrible people in it. Let's put it that way. Many horrible people in it.
Okay. I guess that works. And
Cambridge is nice. But imagine how like Joe Madden will be, he'll be like super genius, won't he, if they win. He won't just be a genius.
He might run for president.
Well, anybody can do that these days, apparently.
I don't even want to think about a Cubs World Series just because it's just such a yuppie. Wrigley Field is the epicenter of yuppiedom. It is.
Well, it used to be kind of fun when there were only 6,000 people there, which is the way back before it got cute.
There's something very arriviste.
Yes, very good.
About the Cubs.
Very good.
That's a pretty good word.
That's a good
word. I'm going to get Barker to say it later.
You should be writing those promos.
416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. That's pretty good. You've been doing this for a little more than a week. You dropped your first inside joke. It's the Jeff Blair Show with Stephen Brunt on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Go here, there, and everywhere with Jeff Blair. Subscribe to podcasts of the Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
See, this song doesn't make me happy. As a matter of fact, if you want to make me feel in a really bad mood, you play this song. By the way, if you're out driving in the QEW around Niagara Falls, keep an eye out for buffalo.
Apparently they're not that smart.
No. Well, I don't know. A buffalo has been struck this morning at 6 a.m. Two vehicles struck and killed a buffalo on the QEW in Niagara Falls, Ontario. Probably not in the city of Niagara Falls, but apparently three buffalo have strayed from a farm. And, well, one's been accounted for, so to speak. Two have not been unaccounted for. And the this particular collision happened near Lions Creek Road. So if you're out there driving and you see something that looks like a buffalo,
you wouldn't want to hit one of those.
You would not want to hit one of
those. You like hitting a moose. Bad idea.
I went through that that drive-thrus, you know, Safari World or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It's not stupid.
African Lion Safari.
Yeah, African Lion Safari. That's the one where the monkeys throw the poo in the car and everything.
They do.
So we went through, this was a couple of years ago. And you know, from Manitoba, I kind of feel that I have an affinity with the bison, right? You know, like we're one, so to speak.
Yes.
You know, it's a spiritual thing.
You helped exterminate them, didn't you?
Well, no, I didn't.
Your forefathers did.
No, my forefathers
Maybe they just all got run over.
No, my forefathers didn't help exterminate. Anyhow, the point is, I thought it'd be kind of neat to see buffalo. I have a red truck. And I mean, I don't know if there's a bull thing happening, but the buffalo got very close to the truck. Very close to the truck and proceeded to sort of start nudging the side.
Jeff is bonking the microphone with his head. I know it's a radio show, but I'll just explain.
Anyhow, so that was my buffalo story. So again, if you're in the queue.
And then nothing happened.
No,
it's not that great a punchline.
I drove away. Well, not really. It's not as much fun as monkeys throwing poo. By the way, when you go through there and they tell you to lower your aerial, if you do have an aerial, lower your aerial.
Yeah.
Monkeys have a lot of fun with that. Drew in Brampton. Bring us down to earth. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What's up?
Not much. Well, if you want to get a good mood, I mean, Bob Marley always puts me in a happy mood. So, I mean, and more to the point, Buffalo Soldier. So
There you go. Bob Marley's, it's never a bad time to play Bob Marley.
Never. I called in. Basically, I think Stroman should pitch right after Price because I want to see that kid's energy in front of his first playoff game in 23 years for the Jays. I mean, he's not going to get rattled. If he didn't get rattled starting in September, coming into a heated playoff series, and then again in Yankee Stadium, kid's not going to get rattled this time.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I don't know where John Gibbons is going to go with his rotation. My understanding is Stroman will likely get the number, will start the second game.
I don't know. I would pitch Ari Dickey in the Dome, and even if it's a lovely sunny day on Friday at noon, I would close the roof.
Except Major League Baseball has the final say.
Do they have the roof say?
In conjunction with the Blue Jays,
yeah.
But certainly now during the World Series.
Then I'd be seeding the clouds.
Yeah. That's what I'd be. During the World Series, the commissioner,
yeah.
If he gets up in a bad mood and says, I don't feel like having indoor baseball, the roof is open. It could be 150 below and snowing.
Like in theory, but I would split the hard throwers with a knuckleball or two. Although you got an off day in there, so it's not as direct. And, you know, you're not going to have a knuckleball effect. But I think I would go Price, Dickey, Stroman, Estrada.
Well, originally, everything you kind of heard was that it was going to be Price, Dickey, Stroman, and Estrada, and get one of your dominant pitchers to pitch one of the games in Texas. I know Wilner and a couple of other people, and some people around the Jays have been speculating that it would be Price and Stroman. You're right. There is a knuckleball effect, but I'm not certain that the off day doesn't mitigate it. But I've got to tell you, we'll talk to John Gibbons today. The Jays will have a workout. I don't know if he'll reveal his rotation. But it could go either way. As far as I'm concerned, I wouldn't surprise me either way.
Here's my famous last words prediction. I would be more confident of Marcus Stroman coming out and dominating a start in this series than any other Blue Jay starter.
Right.
I think he has the potential to go out there and absolutely own these guys. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure David Price could, obviously.
Yeah.
But if you ask me which of the four guys is most likely to do that at this moment, I would say Marcus Stroman. He's fresh as a daisy.
Yep.
He's got crazy stuff. I don't think anything's going to faze him. And there's nothing that I've seen since he's come back that's would suggest otherwise to me.
It will be interesting to see if John Gibbons adheres to one of the things that Joe Torre always used to talk about. Joe Torre always used to talk about how, for him, game two is a big game. Mm-hmm. He usually had his guy going, the pitcher he was most comfortable with. If it was Andy Pettit, usually it was Andy Pettit going in game two. That was his guy. The guy that he maybe wasn't his best pitcher all year, maybe didn't finish the strongest, but it was his guy, the trusted guy.
Yeah, and I can see that. You know, especially in a 3 out of 5, right? If you win the first one, then you're trying to lock it down with the 2 at home. If you lose the first one, you got to win the second one. It feels like and you don't have to, but it feels that way. I can see the game two being a pivot point.
Anyhow, we'll see where it goes. Paula and Barry, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We're doing fine,
Morning.
Paula. Morning.
Excellent. Well, I don't really have a lot of comments about pitching or who should start when, because I'm just happy that we're having that conversation at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also happy that there is a 12:30 start on Friday afternoon, because I'm a server and this allows me to watch the whole game and then go to my fine dining restaurant and work my shift. So it's tough to get them to put the ball game on when you've got white linens on the table.
Yeah, and it's also, one would hope that you would be focused on serving as well, as opposed, not one eye on the game and kind of drop the plate in front of somebody.
You know, if the Jays get in the World Series, though, I remember the year, I remember being in New York the year the Yankees played the Mets in the World
Thank
Series.
Thank you, Paul.
Right?
Yeah.
And one of the things, the first game, I just kind of, myself created an assignment. I just walked the streets of New York and looked in on places.
Yeah, I remember that assignment.
It's a great assignment. The best
I was sitting in the stadium freezing. Where's Brent? Oh, Brent's in a bar and having dinner.
No dummy him. So I walked, I went into the obvious places, but, I looked into, Le Cirque and all these other fans, and everybody had a TV.
Yeah.
Even places where they, no way would they ever have a television. They had one. Sometimes it was kind of discreetly tucked away, but I would wonder if the Jays are in a World Series, I would think there's probably almost nowhere where they would say, we are not showing the game. You have to come here and enjoy the dining for what it is, and forget about your baseball, your filthy baseball.
Yeah, I would imagine that there would probably be.
But it's the other point there is, of course, not everyone works 9 to 5, which is something we're kind of talking, assuming that in this conversation. And our friends out on the West Coast, of course, have long adapted to this routine of watching sporting events during the day and then going out and doing something at night.
Well, I mean, the guy I felt really bad for on Twitter was the guy who's been a Jays fan for 22 years and is living in Vancouver. And he said, you guys are complaining about having to watch this at 12:30. How do you think I feel at 9:30? And look, I understand there are people who are going to be disappointed. Don't get me wrong. But it is what it is. And I think Brunt gave you the reasons why this is why the Jays are getting the day games.
Let your children skip school.
I would.
Yeah, it's really a couple
it's a
days.
Long weekend
couple days
anyhow.
Of school. What's what? It's not going to make any difference.
It's a long weekend anyhow.
They'd probably be better off, don't you think?
Brent says leave school early.
Yeah, leave Chris, school early. That's my advice.
Chris in St. John's, Newfoundland.
How you doing, gentlemen?
How you doing, Chris?
Newfoundland.
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. The point that I'm trying to make here right now, whether, if you're John Gibbons and you start Price game one, obviously, start Stroman in game two, if you start R.A. Dickey down in Arlington, it's going to be like summer-like conditions. You're going to have 28 on Saturday and 29 on Sunday, so the weather's not even going to be a factor down there.
That's an interesting point. The other thing, now, R.A. Dickey pitched there, although that was before he developed the knuckleball, I believe, or perfected the knuckleball. I got to tell you the truth. I usually like to think that I have a pretty good idea of what John Gibbons is going to do with his pitching, with his rotation, but all I'll tell you is the starter in game one is going on 11 days rest. So I think we can say that things have been thrown out the window here.
Have you ever figured out, and this will sound, have you ever figured out what weather R.A. Dickey actually likes, though? Because
No.
When things don't go well, he doesn't like the weather.
No.
And it could be hot, cold, windy, not windy, wet, dry.
Yeah,
the humidity was a little up that day.
The one thing I do believe is wind from behind him speeding up the ball. I do believe he has said that's kind of the thing that you don't like. But I could be wrong. And if it works out for him, I mean, the knuckleball is a capricious animal.
Yeah, I just have found that, I haven't found a kind of consistency in his meteorological excuses. Let's put it that way.
No.
And I'm hoping he pitches really well, and he's pitched really well this year. So hats off to him. But you know, it's always the kind of, well, you know, it's a little, I don't pitch well at when the
2 o'clock,
the moon is in this particular cycle.
That's right. LJ in St. Petersburg, Russia. You're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. How are you?
I'm amazing. I'm very, very excited about the playoffs. I'm just, I'm sitting here packing a suitcase. I'm going to be coming to Toronto on Monday. So if there's any game five tickets out there, everybody's letting you know. But I just want you to know and everybody to know that how much this playoff run and just the energy of the Jays is really connecting the city, Toronto. Like all Torontonians from all over the world, they're so moved. I'm touched by this right now.
What are you doing in St. Petersburg?
I work here sometimes. So I have Russian roots. My parents speak Russian. And sometimes I come here. I'm a yoga teacher. I travel internationally. So I have a conference in Moscow this weekend.
Nice. That's one city I have not been to.
Awesome
that,
place.
That, you've been to St. Petersburg?
Yeah, well, I was there when it was still Leningrad. So, yeah,
oh, you were?
Back in the day, yes.
That's on the bucket list. Well, listen, enjoy the game and travel safely, and thanks for calling.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
This is pretty good today. Like, normally it's just calls from Keswick, but today, you know, we got St. Petersburg, we got St. John's.
We got more calls from St. Petersburg than we did from Keswick. That's awful.
It never happened before.
It never does happen. Or Hamilton. Usually the Hamiltonians call up.
Yeah,
or Stony Creek. Chris in Stony Creek, he hasn't been around for a while. He was. Yeah, okay. I guess. I don't know. Maybe he's... Yeah, we had Eddie. Eddie in Fort Erie. Eddie in Fort Erie is a regular. But there you go. How did you pronounce it?
Newfoundland.
Newfoundland. What is the correct way to pronounce it? Newfoundland.
Newfoundland.
Not Newfoundland.
Newfoundland and Labrador.
Not Newfoundland.
No. Newfoundland and Labrador. And should always say the whole thing because that's the province.
Newfoundland and Labrador.
Newfoundland and Labrador. Newfoundland joined the band. Just think about that kind of rhythm.
Newfoundland joined the band. All right.
Newfoundland.
There you go. Eddie Olchuk will join us. Time to talk a little pucks when the Jeff Blair Show continues. In the home of the Blue Jays, Toronto Sports Radio, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.